You're listening to Out There Atlanta, a podcast featuring interviews with artists in Atlanta and beyond, conducted in the spirit of a casual conversation. Out There Atlanta is sponsored by burnaway.org, an online destination for dialogue about the arts. Music for this podcast was provided by MSIF. This interview is part of Out There Atlanta Summer Sound Series, a collection of interviews with artists who find inspiration in sound or directly use it in their works. For this week's podcast, I interviewed Arkia Jahani. Arkia is a musician and visual artist, as well as a Georgia State student, who recently completed an album titled The Science of Colors, Visionary Compositions for Contemplation, Volume 1. The Science of Colors comprises musical recordings as well as field recordings taken in the Georgia mountains. Here's Arkia to tell you more about it.
I am Arkia Jahani, and I am a musician and also a graphic artist, a visual artist.
And Arkia, how long have you been practicing music, and could you tell me a little bit about what it is currently that you are working on?
I've been practicing music since I can remember. I guess when I started playing the keyboard when I was 4 years old, I used to play along to songs on MTV, and it's something that never left me, really. When I was 9 years old, my parents put me in a music school, and I studied classical piano for about 2 years, and I really wanted to play the guitar, but my parents wouldn't let me play the guitar. They were like, oh, you have to play the piano first. I don't know what they were thinking, but so I learned the piano, and then when I was in middle school, I picked up the guitar. My dad, he plays the guitar, and he always had a guitar in the house, but he wouldn't let me touch it because, I don't know, he didn't like people touching his guitars. But when he was out, I would just sneak in his room and just practice all day after school. And I started recording music when I was 14, 13. I had like a cassette player, and I would just record myself. And by the time I got to high school, I started experimenting with different softwares, and my studio kind of started to grow, and I just got better and better at it. The Science of Colors is one of the projects I'm working on right now. It started about a year ago, I would say. And basically, I had the idea that I wanted to use organic sounds to paint kind of landscapes or portraits. And everything that I use for this project is sample-based, and that's basically it.
What sort of sounds are you going out and collecting, and are you primarily doing this collecting in Georgia, or are you traveling further afield?
I would love to travel and record stuff other places, but right now it's basically in Georgia, just in the woods. Last winter, I went in the woods before I recorded this album, and I recorded branches and streams and just all kinds of sounds, and that's basically all the sounds I use for this album.
Tell me about making the transition from working with an instrument that you yourself are actively playing versus using these recordings and manipulating them. Is that frustrating as someone who comes from the background as an instrumentalist, or is it freeing?
it was frustrating in the first 2 weeks because I didn't know what I was going to do with the sounds, and they weren't sounding quite like I imagined them to sound. But it wasn't frustrating. I just had to get over. I just had to get over it. Had to get into the mindset of using samples. Because I had used samples in the past. I had made electronic music in the past, not in this fashion. Mm-hmm.
So where did the idea come from? I mean, it's an interesting concept to take, to move from using electronic sounds to going in nature and recording really the most organic sounds that one can think of. What is it about that juxtaposition that appealed to you? What got you out there in the first place?
I've always had an interest in nature. I enjoy natural sounds, and I'd also been listening to a lot of avant-garde jazz musicians at the time. I was listening to Sun Ra and all those guys, and I don't know, I just had this, I just wanted to have some kind of spiritual aspect to the music, you know, some kind of organic aspect. It just felt really interesting to me. I'm sure it's been done before, but I don't think it's been done in this fashion. I've never heard anything sound like this before.
What do you mean by in this fashion?
Let's see. The energy that the songs embody are more kind of tribal. They kind of have this tribal, primitive tone to them. They're not really clean. They're not really, polished that well. Right, so there's that raw element to it. And then I used them, but the way I composed these compositions was they're pretty much pop songs. They're very much like pop songs or electronic songs that you hear. But no, I've never heard anything in this fashion, like being so raw and at the same time being a pop song. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does. Are you picking sites that have a particular resonance for yourself on a personal level?
Yeah, I mean, everything I do has some kind of... whatever project I work on has to have some kind of... I have to be interested in it. You know, I can't do it if I'm not interested in it. And for me, music is kind of like... it's part of my lifestyle, so... The sounds kind of have meanings for me. You know, I think about concepts of, some philosophical concepts through sound. So I'm always kind of like playing around with ideas and concepts and just thoughts, you know?
Mm-hmm. I guess what I mean, though, is are the sites that you're going to record the natural campsites and forests, are those places that have a particular significance for you, or did they have significance and resonance for you before that?
Yes, they do. The place, the forest that I used to record these sounds is a place that I visit often, and I've been visiting it since I was in high school. So yeah, it's a place that I enjoy visiting and spending time in.
Which makes the work all the more enjoyable.
Yeah, it is. It's also, when you look back at it, it's kind of like nostalgic, because I've learned this from traveling. Like, when every city or every country sounds different. One time I visited Pakistan, and immediately when I came out of the airport, the country, the sounds were so much louder and more vibrant than what I was used to. You know, even people were talking louder and... it just had a different sound, you know. So I think, I hope in this music, I'm kind of capturing that sound, the sound of, you know, Georgia, or the woods of Georgia, you know.
Yeah, that's very interesting that you're so attuned in terms of sound to different locations. When I think about sites that have been notable for me, or particular sensations, I think about a trip to Vietnam I took years ago, way before I was working on this podcast and any sort of sound work, and what I remember most vividly is the smell of incense when I would wake up in the morning, sort of olfactory response to what was around me. But that's interesting. Maybe your training and interest in sound has made you focus on the world in that way.
Maybe.
Have you been able to take any recordings in the other countries that you've been in, like Pakistan?
No, unfortunately not. I was too young to record any sounds when I visited Pakistan, but I do plan on traveling and recording things in different parts of the world.
the Science of Colors, what have you been able to do with it so far? Are you performing these pieces, or what is their current status?
I would love to perform them, but not so far. I haven't been able to perform them. Mm-hmm. Basically, with this album, when I finished it, I don't know, I was kind of sad after it was finished because I didn't know what to do with it. You know, I didn't have any resources, I didn't know anyone, and I don't know, I'm kind of shy, so I didn't want to approach people and be like, hey, you know, check out my music. You know, I don't know, it was out of my comfort zone. So I spent about a couple of months not, like, sharing it with anyone outside of my, the group of close friends I have. And by then I was working on a different project, and I kind of felt, you know, distant from it. There's, you know, I wasn't so attached to it anymore. And I just, you know, was like, well, you know, I have to send this to someone. You know, the music, I still like the music, and I feel like I have something interesting here. And I got, you know, I had some good feedback from, you know, some close friends about the music. So I just started sending it out to people. You know, I send it out to a few DJs from Georgia State, from WRAS. And I got a response from Dar, who happened to be the music director. You know, I had no idea who he was. And he really liked the music, and he put it on heavy rotation.
Nice.
And 2 weeks after that, the album was number 3 under regular rotation. You know, that to me meant a lot because, you know, when you make something, you don't know what you've made until you get some feedback, you know, from some outside sources. And, you know, so people liked it and they were calling, and that really meant a lot. And it kind of gave me the motivation to kind of push it forward, you know, to kind of, you know, send it out to more people.
Yeah. No, that's a wonderful thing to occur. Do you feel like the music scene at Georgia State is very amenable to this type of music? What kind of scene is there around the college?
I don't know. When Dar was like, when he told me he was going to put it on the radio, I was like, surprised, because I really don't see this music on the radio. I couldn't imagine it being on the radio. You know, one night I was listening to it after, like, a month after I had finished it at night, and it kind of freaked me out. I was like, whoa, what is this? You know, like, this is kind of scary sounding. Some of the sounds are really aggressive, you know, and, you know, I don't know. I don't see this, you know, I don't see people, like, humming to the songs. They're, like, tapping their foot to them. So I don't think my music really, like, fits anything that they're playing, you know. I don't know. I don't know how it goes with the music scene in my school.
Yeah,
Or in Georgia. I don't know, but...
Well, obviously the radio station feels otherwise. I mean, that's a really great response to have from... you know, from this great college radio station. It's my favorite college radio station that I listen to in Atlanta. Have you had any encounters where you've like walked past someone who's listening to it on the radio while it's playing, anything like that?
Well, friends have like sometimes text me or tell me that, oh, we just heard your song on the radio, or they hear, you know, that's about it. Just friends, like, telling me that they heard it on the radio. I try to avoid the radio now because I don't want to hear my song.
Are you going to listen to this podcast when it comes out?
Probably not.
That's all right. You wouldn't be the first. With your music at this point, are you interested in continuing to work in this direction of using field recordings, or are you feeling an urge to get back to working with instruments?
Well, I'm not working on Science of Colors right now. And the last thing I did for Science of Colors was I made 2 tracks for a compilation, which is dedicated to Sun Ra, he was a jazz composer. And those two tracks are going to be released on a small label that's based in New Zealand.
How did you find them, or how did they find you?
I have no idea how they found me. One day, they contacted me, and I guess they really enjoyed the music. I have no idea where they found me, but they were really interested in the songs, and Addison, who's in charge of Cosmic Composition, that's their label, told me if I was interested to, like, release some tracks on their label, and I said, sure, you know, why not? But I'm not doing anything with Signs of Colors right now, outside of just sharing it.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been working on a different project for the past 4 months, and that one is more synth-driven, and it's a lot more minimal. It's not as rough around the edges. You know, it's more, you know, it's more radio friendly, I would say. And I'm actually working on some with some dancers and choreographers from Glow Atlanta.
Oh.
They're going to it's going to be a music / visual project. So they are doing choreography for the music, and we're going to film it sometime next month. Hopefully, I'm still trying to figure out the studio we're going to film it at, but. That's what I've been working on.
Wow, and you'll be playing live for the dancers, or will it be pre-recorded music?
It would be pre-recorded music, but I will play live and project it visual later on.
Tell me how that collaboration came about.
Well, I was familiar with their work through Flux, because I saw them performing there, and when I was working on this music, I just had these images in my head of their performances. And when time came and I had demos, I just contacted a few people from Glow Atlanta, and we got in touch, and they liked the music, and it just went from there. The choreographer, his name is Joshua, and I know he's been doing the choreography for the past month. He's been working on it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're actually going to meet this Tuesday and watch him perform for us.
Oh, that's great. And where will this video premiere?
You see, I have no idea where it will premiere. I have, I'm working on that. And I'm just like sharing my music, the Science of Colors project, just sharing that project has opened a lot of opportunities and a lot of doors for me. So I'm just kind of feeling around, seeing, you know, where I can premiere it. Because, you know, I've been spending so much time and energy on it that I almost don't want people to see it if it's not going to be in the proper setting. You know, I don't know if that makes sense.
But no, it does.
If it's not going to be right, you know, I don't want it to be something that I just upload and then, you know, a month later 50 people or 20 people have seen it. You know, it's just, you know, that's not right. You know, it just doesn't feel right to me. I prefer just putting it in a safe somewhere and just forgetting about it, if it's going to be that. But, one of my friends, he's a filmmaker, and his films actually premiered. A couple of his films were in South by Southwest Festival and in Atlanta Festival last year. And we have some contact with some of the people on Vimeo.
Mm-hmm.
And we might work with them and see what they want to do. So it might premiere on Vimeo under Staff Picks.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that, you know, I'm still working on it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Do you feel for a young musician today that doing the festival circuit and being on top of these social media and internet sites is an important sort of double approach to have, or do you still feel like one is stronger than the other?
I feel like, I'm a big fan of internet, and I think it's probably one of the greatest human invention, you know, because it connects people, you know. I'm not anyone important, you know. I'm just a regular person who happens to make music, you know, and I have a voice on the internet because I can contact people that live, you know, in New Zealand, or they can contact me. So I feel like it has opened a lot of doors for artists and all kinds of people. At the same time, it closed some doors, because now everyone, with technology, everyone can make a movie and everyone can make a song, and it's harder to get your music heard. You know, it's much more challenging to get someone to sit down and listen to music, you know. Mm-hmm. But I also feel like, you know, outside of internet, just playing shows and interacting with people is just as important, you know. I think they're equally important.
Yeah. It sounds like a supportive community has been a huge part of you sort of getting out of the introspective place in which this work originally occurred, and getting the confidence and the resources to share it.
Mm-hmm.
Are you comfortable with talking about what your next plans may be after graduating from Georgia State, if you're staying in Atlanta, that sort of thing?
Well, I hope that I can do something with my music and art. You know, that's what I've been doing all my life, and that's just kind of what I feel like I'm best at. You know, I'm not really a good carpenter or a good, you know, I'm not, you know, I mean, I can do other things, but I'm not really good at them. The thing that I'm the best at is music and visual art, and, you know, I hope I can do something, you know, with my music, and kind of, you know, I don't want to be, you know, famous. I don't want to be, you know, rich. I just want to, you know, be able to pay the bills and just do something that I love doing. You know, and that's what I've been trying to do for the past, you know, 6 months since I finished Signs of Colors. I've been, like, trying to reach out to people, you know, that inspired me, or, like, just anyone, you know, just to see if my music is good enough. You know, if it's good enough for other people to enjoy and appreciate, and is it good enough for them to want to pay for it, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm just working towards that, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also, you know, I would love to, you know, travel. I would love to move other places, sometimes down the road, but I don't have anything planned. You know, I'm not planning on moving anywhere after I graduate.
Not going to go meet your producers in New Zealand?
maybe. I hope one day.
Yeah.
I would love to meet them. They have a beautiful island. I would love to visit.
Yeah. Probably get some amazing recordings out there. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you'd like to know more about The Science of Colors, search The Science of Colors on Facebook. You can also find The Science of Colors at scienceofcolors.bandcamp.com. Archaea's website is templeofholy.com. As always, check out burnaway.org for events, reviews, and articles about art. And check out our website, outthereatlanta.com, for photos and updates. Thanks for listening.